Welcome to week 5. This NFL season is still chugging along. And hey, look at all the big changes this week already. GM and head coach Bill O'Brien was fired. Adam Gase still has a job, though. Dwayne Haskins was benched for Kyle Allen. I mean, well, does that matter at all? No, probably not. But here to report on that and more live from his in-home office is Eric Smith. Eric, how does it feel to know that you have outlasted Bill O'Brien?
It's wonderful. He's caused me a lot of sleepless nights, so I'm glad to be here. There's a lot of job openings in Houston, so maybe I can snag one of them. I'll put in my resume maybe at the end of this podcast.
You know what? Go for it. Shoot your shot, Eric, and I very much look forward to following up with you on that. And recording from his Yankees viewing studio is Callan Elslager. Callan, welcome to the show. As always, how you doing?
I'm good, Eric. If you get one of those jobs in Houston, just give me a call. I'll come on your staff, help you out a little bit. More than happy to do so.
All right. Well, fantastic. The QB list is going to be the feeder system for the Houston Texans analytics program. You heard it here first. Should be fantastic. And, you know, speaking of our fantastic team of analysts and people who, you know, read, eat, sleep, breathe football, I hope you guys were able to pick up some of the players that were highlighted on our waiver wire podcast led by Frank Costanzo and Ryan Heath. And also, as always, don't forget, Sunday at noon Eastern, we are doing a live stream this year. It's hosted by Matt Dean and Aaron Rader, and definitely check that out. I know you're going to have last-minute sit-start questions Sunday morning. Everyone does. Go there, ask them those questions. They will be able to help you set your lineups and win your week. You can find all of this great content on our website, QBList.com, and on Twitter, at TheQBList. All right, so let's get right to the elephant in the room. Two more Tennessee Titans tested positive for COVID today, bringing the total number of players up to 11. Overall number of positive tests to 21. Corey Davis joined Adam Humphries on the COVID reserve list, and neither expected to play this Sunday. I mean, and even more so, Eric, do we even expect this game to be played at all?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the NFL wants to go ahead with these games. They're all about getting these things in, keeping the money flowing. That's priority number one for these owners, sadly. But there have been rumors that NFL is going to hand down some major, major penalties on the Titans. I don't even know what that involves. I don't know if you can go higher than what they did with the Patriots at times, but they kind of hinted at that. I don't know. I think they're going to do everything they can to play this game, but I don't see how, as more tests come positive, they can get this in. So it's going to be a bye week nightmare, scheduling nightmare, and we just have to wait until Sunday, basically.
Yeah, so they've already moved the Titans bye week. They moved it up to week 4 to reschedule everything with the Steelers game that was supposed to happen. And in addition, you know, some photos came out recently that were allegedly – you know, they're very grainy photos from very far away taken with what looks like a 2008, Nokia phone. But, you know, they are football players on a football field in Tennessee, and it was supposedly the Tennessee Titans. And so, you know, with that, that would definitely have violated the COVID protocols, as they were not supposed to be gathering. You know, NFL could be, as Eric alluded to, I think we've heard some rumors of them handing down a potential forfeit for the Titans for this game, you know, for them violating those protocols, and therefore obviously that game wouldn't be played. But, you know, even if that isn't the case, let's say the game is just postponed, you know, we've already got the bye week behind us for the Titans. So now we have to figure out another place to put the game. I mean, it, no matter what happens, it is going to be both unprecedented and probably a mess, unless they just play. And, you know, we just pray. I think we go with the official NFL plan and just pray that no one gets sick and that the negative tests just pop up. And we're like, hey, everything's good. See, look at that. If you just think positively, we're going to be OK. So, Callan, do you expect this game to be played on Sunday?
I have no idea. We saw the NFL go both ways. They rescheduled them last week. But then when the Patriots had their situation, it got pushed to Monday and they were supposedly fine. But then there's another positive. So. Who knows at this point? I would think no if the cases, but with the NFL, you never know. They're going to try everything they can to play it, so it's kind of just a wait and see.
Yeah, and a great thing you brought up the Patriots, because that was the next thing here. So Stephon Gilmore tested positive today, and he was one of the players. So when they did the contact tracing to determine who was at high risk based on Cam Newton testing positive, there were about 20 players that they said, hey, these are the guys that are high risk. And what better thing to do than to take all 20 high-risk players and shove them in a small pressurized cabin together where the air circulates and just hope that, you know, that's not going to spread. So sorry, I still can't wrap my mind around like who thought that was a good idea. But so we have to expect that more players in that group. Like I said, that's about 20 players that were on that plane. I don't think we know who all was officially on that plane, but we have to expect more of them are going to test positive, right? So if we start seeing a week of a bunch of Patriots testing positive, do we think they're going to go the same way that the Titans went last week? Helen, do you think the Patriots game is going to be postponed?
If it goes Titans route, absolutely. Like you said, there's a lot of high-risk players. They're all together. They played a game on Monday with potentially people having COVID and playing through it. So also keep an eye on the Chiefs. That's the team they played. You never know if that allowed it to contract. So it's another – hopefully they figure things out, but you never know. So just wait and see again.
There is a photo of the, you know, the post-game scrum when all the players get together and tell each other how great they did of Stephon Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes basically like face guard to face guard talking to each other. So it's definitely not what you want to see after you hear Gilmore testing positive for COVID, you know, within 2 days of that moment. So hopefully, once again, like with the Vikings, hopefully this doesn't cross the scrimmage line and COVID respects the offsides rule and you know, stays with their own team. Okay, let's get from the weird, you know, this whole weird pandemic stuff. Let's get into like actual more like regular football stuff. Let's talk about injuries. So with the San Francisco 49ers, who had basically the entire team get hurt in week two, we have a couple players looking like they're going to be coming back. Raheem Mostert got into limited practice today, as did Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think we know yet their availability for Sunday, but it sounds like the door is open for both Mostert and Garoppolo to return. Eric, are you expecting either of them to return? And you know, how does it affect your rankings if they are playing?
Yeah, it seems pretty positive on both Garoppolo and Mostert at this point. And I wonder if that was part of McKinnon getting so much work last week that they knew Mostert was coming back. So I'm pretty excited about this offense in general. I mean, Ayuk looked really good. He's making plays. Debo Samuel was back last week, a little limited, but he still looked like Debo Samuel. And then we saw what George Kittle did, 15 catches on 15 targets. So, yeah, I'm getting really excited about this offense. I think the big question is Garoppolo. Is he feeling safe? And, you know, does he have his legs under him? Can he keep this thing running? Because they're going to have a ton of weapons. It might be a little tricky for us to predict each week who's going to get the work, but this should take some pressure off the running game, make that better. They were getting the running backs more involved in the passing game. I'm really looking forward to this. So we just need Garoppolo to hold up his end of the bargain. And I think we've got a really good offense here.
Yeah, it'd be really great if the 49ers could have a quarterback that threw the ball to their own team and not directly to an Eagle. I mean, just, you know, just an idea for Nick Mullins next time you're on the football field, which may still be this Sunday. It sounds like he might still be the starter if Garoppolo is out. So just something to keep an eye on there. And then in New York, Le'Veon Bell is designated to return from the IR this week. He will be practicing, and there's apparently a chance that he could play on Sunday, even though it was only just a few weeks ago that he had the soft tissue injury. Callan, are you at all excited for Le'Veon Bell's return? He's still 85% rostered, so there's a lot of people out there holding out hope. Callan, is their hope justified, or are you going to smash all over it?
There's some hope, sure. You know, the talent of Le'Veon Bell, it's Adam Gase. He takes any hope you have and smashes it. So if Le'Veon Bell's back, I'll play him just because what else do the Jets have? He's got to get a lot of work, but who knows if they're going to ease him back. I'll play him probably in an RB2 territory. He said week 5 was the goal and he started practicing. So right now I'm expecting him to be back out there. And if he's out there, I'll put him in my lineup, but cross my fingers and just hope it
ready,
works out.
You're ready to be disappointed again. Eric, are you also ready to be disappointed again by Bell?
No, not particularly. I mean, this week with all the injuries and the COVID stuff, you may have to throw him in your flex, but we were already worried about Frank Gore before Le'Veon Bell got hurt. So I think it's pretty certain that Gase is going to give us a healthy dose of Frank Gore as usual. I don't even want to talk about who's under center, but it's Joe Flacco. So I am not excited. I also would not fault you if you just have nobody else in the flex this week.
Yeah. And, you know, with Flacco, actually the next person to bring up on my list, you guys are just I don't even give you access to the notes, and you guys are just pulling them up. Honestly, well done. But with Joe Flacco, I saw a really interesting stat today. He has thrown to his tight ends more and more and more as his career has gone on. And Chris Herndon has not been targeted very much this year. And I believe Flacco targets his tight ends typically more than what Herndon has had this year. So with that said, is there any interest in Herndon as a streamer with Flacco under center?
I'm just staying away from this offense, honestly. I mean, you never know with the change of quarterback what's going to happen, and we don't even know what Flacco's got left at this point. So, no, I'm pretty much staying away. I mean, I Herndon's a good player, we think, so keep an eye on it, but not for this week. It's just too early to trust anyone there.
All right, let's go to Las Vegas, where Henry Ruggs is back at practice. He has not played since week two with a hamstring injury. So, you know, obviously we're excited to see Ruggs back on the field. You know, he looks good in the first game this year. And, you know, as a rookie, first-round pick, obviously very exciting. But rostership did drop all the way to 42% on Henry Ruggs. So with him back at practice, are you guys looking to stash him this week? Like, Callan, are you picking him up right now?
Yeah, I'll pick him up stash, and I think the Raiders need a number one receiver in that offense, and Ruggs should step right back in there at that point. I don't think Hunter Renfrow will still be the one. I don't know if I'll play him his first week off an injury, even though the Chief matchup isn't terrible, but I'll stash him, see how he looks this week if he plays, and then go from there next week.
All right, so if you've got a bench spot, Ruggs might be someone worth stashing. Eric, are you stashing Ruggs as well, or would you rather just let him sit on the wire for now?
No, I'm absolutely stashing him. I mean, that first week, he looked good. They gave him 5 targets and 2 carries, so they really wanted him involved. That's pretty good for a rookie in his first start. So he had, you know, 66 yards total in his first start, and I think there's more there. It's going to help the offense to open it up and give a little deep threat. So I'm really excited for Ruggs. I just hope he can stay healthy.
All right, and then finally, Chris Godwin and LeSean McCoy have both been ruled out of the Tampa Bay game. It is, you know, short week, Thursday night game, so it was always going to be tough for them to come back from the injury. Fournette is currently listed as doubtful, but it sounds like he's not going to play. And Mike Evans and Scotty Miller are both questionable. So are we just going to see Tom Brady, Ronald Jones, and like 9 offensive linemen out there tomorrow night? Or, you know, I mean, what's happening in Tampa Bay?
Do you count Gronkowski as one of those offensive linemen? I mean, this might finally be the week of Rob Gronkowski, but it's going to be a mess right now. It's hard to predict with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I kind of see this. I mean, it's Tampa Bay versus Chicago. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a lot of running on both sides, just kind of a game that moves quickly, grind it out. Tampa Bay takes the win with their good defense. So I like Jones this week, other than, you know, tough defense he's going against. And Keyshawn Vaughn might get a little work. So I'm most interested in the running backs. Scotty Miller, I think, could be interesting. I don't know what to think of Evans. I hope he's out there. But if he's not out there, it's going to be trouble.
Yeah, with both McCoy and Fournette out, that's left a pretty sizable role for Keyshawn Vaughn. I know Ronald Jones got all the carries for the most part this past week, but, you know, Vaughn, someone needs to step into that McCoy role of third down back, passing back. And so you might see Vaughn with a little bit of usage in this offense, you know, just because, you know, how else could the Tampa Bay backfield get any messier? You know, why not? All right. Before we get into the games, let's do a little bit of is it time to panic? Because there's a lot of people out there that are asking this exact same question of themselves and looking at their roster and, you know, unsure yet if they should be panicking about their players or if they should just, you know, take a deep breath. It's all good. So let's just start with basically the entire Atlanta Falcons offense. They came out hot. They Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones and Russell Gage, I think all of them had 9 receptions in that first game of the year. And it kind of has been not so great since the first half of week 2. Since then, it's kind of been a bit of a struggle. Eric, are you panicking on the Falcons offense?
I am a little more long term than short term, but yes.
Callan, what about you? Are you panicking on that Atlanta offense?
I'm not ready to do so yet. No.
Okay. All right. So Eric's panicking. Callan's not. Eric, why are you panicking?
I mean, they're 0-4. This team is just a mess. I don't know how long Dan Quinn's going to be the coach. I just expect just a bad season. I don't think it's going to get any better. They're 19th in yards per play. They're only 14th in points per game, which isn't as good as you'd think it would be. And they've run the third most plays. So they're just racking up volume, but it's not amounting to a whole lot. And the injuries are piling up. So I just worry that if, you know, I mean, what happens if they're, you know, 3-8 at some point. They're just kind of running out the string. Are they going to just keep chucking the ball down in games? I'm concerned where this franchise is headed long term. And, you never know. They may just kind of fall back on the running game, play it safe, and just move on to 2021. So I'm still ranking Ridley high for right now, but I'm kind of worried what this team's going to look like in, week 12 of the season.
So are there any players in particular that you're more concerned about than others? And if so, are you looking to, try and sell high on them while they still have that, Atlanta Falcons offense name value?
I mean, I think Julio's a concern if this injury lingers all season and they end up shutting him down or something. I think Ridley still maintains quite a bit of value. And then even Matt Ryan, I've been worried about. He hasn't looked that good. He's 27th in deep ball completion percentage. He's thrown like the 7th most interceptable passes. He's been missing on some deep throws, mainly to Ridley. So I'm a little worried about him just as far as, we kind of penciled in as a top 7 QB most weeks. So I'm a little bit worried about him. I think Ridley is the safest going forward, though.
Callan, what about you? You said you're not panicking on this Falcons offense. So where do you stand with them?
No, I still think Matt Ryan's going to figure it out. We believed him coming preseason or going into the season, and it's been a struggle so far. But yes, the defense is terrible. That just means more value for your fantasy players. That just means garbage time if the defense is going to keep allowing points. That means Matt Ryan's going to throw the ball. And who's he going to throw it to? Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst, I think, will get a little bit more involved as the season goes on, especially if Julio's injury keeps nagging. And Russell Gage, I think, will get more involved. So I think even if the team isn't as good as we expect them to be, the defense is still bad enough that garbage time point production could be in our favor. So I'm not pushing the panic button yet. I still believe in Matt Ryan. I still believe in the receivers, so not ready to do that yet.
All right, so Eric, if you're in any leagues with Callan, you might want to start sending him offers with your Falcons players in them. Let's go from one surprising 0-4 team to another, the Houston Texans offense. We really expected big things from, Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, medium things from David Johnson, and I don't think they've really delivered on that. So are we panicking on the Texans offense?
Not for me. I think better days are ahead.
Not for me either. I'm still want to see what the new coach brings.
Okay, that's a fair point. New coach could change up a lot of things, especially when it comes to play calling. I think Tim Kelly is still the offensive coordinator there, so we may not see a change until they have a new head coach named, which I don't believe they have one yet. So we'll see kind of what happens there. I think a lot of people are worried about David Johnson though, with O'Brien being the main one who kind of put his name out there as far as believing in David Johnson and trading a lot to get him. He needed to try and make good on that. So for me, at least, if you have David Johnson, now might be the best time to try and get out from that, because we might see more Duke Johnson moving forward. All right, let's go to some individual players. Let's talk about T.Y. Hilton, who I believe is still rostered in like 94% of leagues on Yahoo. Eric, is it time to panic on T.Y. Hilton?
Yes, I've been panicking all year.
Callan, are you panicking on T.Y. Hilton?
Yeah, now's the time to do it.
Okay. Do either of you want to just expand for all those people who are still hanging on to Hilton, why they should be dropping him or selling him? I don't know. Where are you at on that?
I don't know how much you can get for him. Yeah, go ahead, Callan.
The targets have just not been there. Clearly, him and Rivers are not going along. It seems like it's a clear run first offense. When they pass, it's going to the tight ends and the running backs. So Hilton's not as involved as we expected. You can try and sell him for the name value. Someone might just see T.Y. Hilton and not be as researched or know as much as we, or have seen as much as we've seen. But yeah, it's clearly him and Rivers don't have that connection he had with Andrew Luck. So it's time.
All right. Yeah. Like I said, still, he's at 88% rostered still on Yahoo. I think he was one of the more dropped players this week. So it might be time to move on and look for someone more interesting on the waiver wire. Let's talk about DJ Moore. DJ Moore is someone who's being drafted as like a wide receiver one, maybe like high end wide receiver two. And he's definitely not delivered on that this year. He's not even been the best wide receiver on his own team. Are we panicking on DJ Moore?
No, I'm buying low, actually.
Same here.
Okay, buying low. So, if you're looking to go get him anywhere you can, would you be trading someone like, would you trade Robbie Anderson for DJ Moore? Maybe try a little sell high, buy low.
I mean, that's tough because I think there is a chance that Robbie Anderson has surpassed him as the number one wide receiver there. I'm not debating that necessarily. I just want that passing game. I think Bridgewater looks pretty solid, and I don't think their defense is this good, and they're going to be trailing. So they've just got ahead, and they haven't got that volume to Moore. So, man, when you're putting up against Robbie Anderson, that's tough. I think DJ Moore is the better player, and in theory, I would trade DJ Moore for Robbie Anderson.
Would you guys trade any of the following players for DJ Moore? CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, or Marquise Brown?
Probably not CeeDee Lamb. I would think about the other two.
I might even do all three, but I'm a little more hesitant on Lamb. But okay. It's close between those two. But the other two for sure.
So you can buy low on DJ Moore, and if you have DJ Moore, don't get swindled. Better days are ahead for him, and the Panthers' passing offense has looked a lot better than I think we all expected coming into this year. Let's talk about Kenyon Drake, because we haven't talked about Kenyon Drake enough, and boy, has he really disappointed us. Is it time to panic on Kenyon Drake?
Yes, but when I get into my rankings, you'll see he's not that low this week. So yes, with a but on it.
Kind of. I'm not fully ready to panic, but not fully ready to tell you not to panic. So right, I'm in the middle on him.
Okay, that's super exciting. Two guys on the middle on Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake is listed. He is ranked the 21st running back this week for Eric. And I mean, it's kind of a shallow week, though. So that really doesn't portend good things moving forward, because 21 this week is not really as high as you'd think it is. Would you guys be trying to sell Kenyon Drake if you had him on your roster right now?
I don't know who's going to take him, honestly. I mean, there's just been nothing there. He's not getting the passing game work. But yeah, if you can talk someone into him. But you're exactly what you said. I mean, I was ready to bench him everywhere I had him and, you know, never start him again. And then I looked at who's out there this week, and he's a startable RB2 against the Jets. So we'll see. As long as he keeps getting this volume, he's going to be ranked fairly high. But I think Edmonds could take the job. We'll see. We'll see if he has more spark here.
That might be the tagline that gets you to trade him. If you send the trade proposal with the note, he's a startable RB2 against the Jets.
Like, exactly.
Perfect. All right. And then finally, is it time to panic on this NFL season? Because in addition to the positive tests we've had in Tennessee and New England, we also had a Las Vegas Raider test positive, and we've seen how quickly it can spread through teams. It's spreading very quickly in Tennessee. We might see, you know, it spread very quickly in New England. This is going to affect the schedule moving forward. This could affect if teams feel that they don't have a roster that's safe and healthy to play, they may ask to sit out. After watching Brian Hoyer play, the New England Patriots might try to postpone the game as much as possible. So, like, are you guys panicking on this NFL season? And let me rephrase it. I think we all know that there's going to be some sort of a season. Because as Eric, you mentioned, there's revenue to be had and the NFL owners will have it. However, that doesn't really help us if it's like a weird, like 25-week season with a bunch of postponed games. That doesn't help us for fantasy purposes because that becomes a whole mess. So in relation to fantasy football, are you panicking about the NFL season?
Yeah, you actually beat me to it. I'm more panicked about the fantasy football aspects than I am the NFL. If I'm a commissioner right now, I am just sweating because I don't know how you're supposed to manage any of this. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm worried, panicked somewhere in that middle. It's a weird season, and we knew it coming in, but it seems like it's getting weirder by the day. So
if you're a commissioner and you have a buy-in, don't spend everyone's buy-in. You might want to hold on to that. Just in case, you never know what's going to happen. But anyway, with that said, let's transition to the games where we can talk about the Bills Titans. We're just going to assume for right now that these games are happening. We talked about, earlier, you know, whether or not we think these games will happen. Obviously I think the Titans game is more in question than the Patriots game. But we'll talk about them both anyway, because if they play, you need to know who to start. So let's go to Tennessee, where the Buffalo Bills are 4-0, and they're taking on the 3-0 Tennessee Titans. There isn't currently an over-under or a line set for this game, unfortunately, but I think we can expect a very interesting game as the Bills like to air it out. The Titans like to keep it on the ground, and there's a lot of interesting players in this game. Eric, which side of the ball are you more excited for this week? Are you excited for the Bills passing attack or the Titans running game?
Bills passing attack. I mean, I suppose a lot could get funneled to Henry, but I'm just worried about the Titans. I mean, they missed a week. They are decimated by, you know, COVID absences. They're going to be pretty shorthanded here. So I'm much more excited about what the Bills can do to the Titans if they do play. Titans defense hasn't been very good. They've been beatable both on the ground and in the air. So Bills have the clear upper hand here, but there could be some volume just really funneled to like two players on the Titans. So in that sense, you know, if AJ Brown plays, Derrick Henry, Jonnu Smith, they could be looking good, but there's like nobody else other than them.
Yeah, I was going to mention AJ Brown looking like he's going to be back, has not played since week one. So that's got to be exciting since every other player on the team, especially, you know, Davis and Humphreys are looking like they are not going to be able to play. So a lot of volume to just a few players. You know, Callan, are you expecting AJ Brown to play? And if he does, are you starting him right away?
I'll start him as a wide receiver too, flex because of the bye weeks and stuff. You probably have to start him. And with the injuries and COVID in Tennessee, the volume's going to be there. So I'll start him. But usually I'm hesitant from a person in their first week off an injury, but the volume should be there, even though it's against a real good Bills defense.
Okay, and you're obviously starting Derrick Henry. You're starting Jonnu Smith, who's, you know, especially if AJ Brown is out, is like literally the only person on their team that can catch passes. So, you know, we might see some big blow up games from, you know, people that we've never heard of before in Tennessee. You know, maybe there's something interesting there for DFS purposes. But as far as, you know, your season long leagues, you're pretty much starting Smith, Henry, and then Brown if he's out there. Let's go to Buffalo. You know, there's, as Eric mentioned, the passing attack is very interesting. Obviously, Stephon Diggs has been one of the best wide receivers this year, but John Brown has also been really good. However, he did not practice today. You guys both have him ranked in the wide receiver three range. What does this do for, you know, Cole Beasley or Gabriel Davis if Brown can't go this week?
I mean, it definitely makes him more interesting. I think John Brown kind of, he played through it last week. So I don't know if we're definitely not necessarily hitting the panic button on him yet, but I think it'd just be a lot more Diggs and a lot more Beasley. I like Gabriel Davis a lot. I've talked about him a lot, but I'm not ready to start him yet.
Yeah, I agree with Eric.
Well, the Bills run 10 personnel more than any other team in the league. That's one running back and four wide receivers. So both Davis and Beasley have been on the field for more than 50% of the snaps. So they like to have their wide receivers out there. But obviously, as we, you know, as Eric mentioned, the volume really goes to Diggs and Brown. And then Zach Moss was limited, still with that toe injury that's kept him out of the last two games. Eric, you have him ranked as a RB1 this week, or sorry, Devin Singletary as an RB1 this week. Is that because of Zach Moss's absence, or do you think if Moss plays, he's still in that same top 12 territory?
Yeah, I mean, that was just kind of in general because I had Moss ranked just in case he played. So this week's a mess at running back, and this Titans defense has given up some rushing yards so far. They've allowed the most yards per attempt so far. So this, I mean, it's a small sample with them only playing three games, but they're beatable. And I think Singletary is going to be involved a lot here. So yeah, I mean, you look down the running back ranks. I mean, after him, we're at, you know, James Robinson, James Conner, Joe Mixon, and it starts going downhill after that. So it's just a matter of this week. I mean, do you want to start Kenyon Drake over him? You know, it's like you got to put him somewhere.
Yeah, and Callan has him ranked as a RB18, so still in the, you know, comfortably start range unless you're playing in a league where you only start one running back or something weird like that. But you guys are both starting Singletary. Obviously, we're starting Josh Allen, who's been, you know, really the breakout quarterback of the year. And, you know, start the Bills defense because this Titans offense is – there's not a lot of players on it right now. So, like I said, you know, we might see a lot of practice squad players and guys you never heard of before out there. Let's go to New England, where the Denver Broncos are hoping to right the ship a little bit. It is the battle of the backup quarterbacks. Potentially, Drew Lock is throwing. It probably seems like a long shot that he'll be back by Sunday, but they haven't completely closed the door on him. If Drew Lock comes back, does that make any Broncos pass catcher interesting?
Yeah, I mean, so this might be a little more long term because they're playing the Patriots this week, although they are down Gilmore. But I think Jerry Jeudy's really getting set up well here. If Locke comes back and looks like the Locke of old, he's got less competition without Sutton. Even Hamler is out this week, I believe. Fant's banged up. So I think we could be seeing a lot of targets coming Jerry Jeudy's way soon. So I've got my eye on him. He's more of a wide receiver three this week. We'll see what happens at quarterback and against this tough defense. But I really like Jerry Jeudy rest of season.
Yeah, I'd agree. Keep an eye on Tim Patrick if he's the number two and Locke comes back. I know it's not nicest name to be thrown out there, but he got the volume last week, and if Locke's back there, they might have to throw a little bit more. So I wouldn't start him or anything, but I guess keep an eye on him and how he's involved.
Yeah, Noah Fant is doubtful for this week. They haven't ruled him out, but it does not sound like he's going to be playing. So that really leaves Judy as the main guy in this offense with, and Tim Patrick had a great week four. So, that may continue. And Melvin Gordon, you guys both have him in the RB2 range. I'm assuming that has more to do with the fact that they're going up against the Patriots than anything else.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lindsay's working his way back and, that's going to eat into his work as well.
Okay. And then for New England, we're probably still not seeing Cam Newton this weekend. So do you want to start any pass catcher? I mean, do you even want to start Julian Edelman this week if it's Hoyer or Stidham back there?
I think Edelman's always worth a start, at least as a wide receiver 3. But no, I mean, this is a mess. Without Cam Newton, this offense just is not fun anymore. So no, I'd rather not start anyone, even the running backs. I'm sure we'll get to them, but I don't know what to make of them right now.
Yeah, I'll start Edelman as a safe floor. Got to throw the target to somebody. And I just think he's safe at wide receiver 3 flex. So if you have him, you'll probably still start him even with the ugliness that'll be a quarterback.
And Damian Harris was one of the most added running backs, actually one of the most added players altogether this past week. And he really, excelled in the feature back role. You know, with Sony Michel still out for a few more weeks, obviously White and Burkhead are going to get some touches, but neither one of those guys are really what you would consider someone that you give, 10 plus carries to. So Damian Harris is really set up, especially with no Cam Newton, to get a lot of carries. So I got to ask, why do you guys both have him outside your top 30?
Yeah, I mean, is he going to be more than Sony Michel? I mean, if he doesn't get the passing game work, are we just looking at another Sony Michel here? I guess we're hoping he's better, but I don't know what the upside is here. Do you like Harris this week at all, Callan?
I'd like him if it wasn't the Patriots. We don't know what they're going to do. So if they have J.J. Taylor, who can have his breakout game in any second, they're going to have White and Burkhead involved in the passing game. It's just, you don't know what the Patriots are going to do. So it's just so hard to rank that. Maybe you play, maybe you don't, but you're throwing a dart and hoping it works.
All right. Well, both of these guys have Damian Harris outside their top 30, which means it is time for my pick of the week, which is Damian Harris. Like I said, neither White nor Burkhead are really going to get a ton of carries. I don't expect J.J. Taylor to really factor in. And with Hoyer or Stidham, it really doesn't matter under center. I don't see the Patriots throwing the ball a lot unless somehow they get down early and can't really ever make up the gap against the Broncos. That would be the only way where I don't see Harris getting, 15 plus carries. And as you said, Eric, yes, maybe he is in the same usage as Sony Michel, but he's a better running back than Sony Michel. And with that, I think we're going to see better production from him. I think he'll find the end zone. I think he'll run for, I want to say, let's say 80 yards plus, and against a Broncos team where they should have a lead the whole game, I expect them to just hand the ball to Harris and let himself have a day. So that's my pick of the week. I'm going to recast that when he inevitably does well and is the RB1, and we're going with that. So that's it for the COVID games. Let's go to, it's like the Hunger Games, but pandemic edition. Let's go to Chicago, where Thursday Night Football is here. And it's actually a decent matchup this week. We actually have some like watchable football. It's the 3-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the 3-1 Chicago Bears. Tampa Bay is favored by 3.5. Like we mentioned at the top, a lot of their players are injured, but I think we can expect Mike Evans, Scotty Miller, and Rob Gronkowski to play. And so that gives Tampa Bay, I think, enough offense to beat the Bears. What are you expecting from the Tampa Bay offense, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I think Scotty Miller is a decent play this week since everyone else is hurt. I mean, I'm being forced to play him in a league where I've just been hit at receiver by a ton of injuries. So I think the volume's there, and he's had a nice connection going with Brady. So Scotty Miller makes it onto the startable, kind of flex range. Mike Evans, obviously you're playing him if he's out there. And Ronald Jones, I mean, I think he's going to get all the carries he can handle as long as his drops last week didn't scare him off of him. So this could be kind of focused on just a couple players here. We'll see if Gronk does any more than blocking. But I expect Tampa Bay to get the lead and kind of eat the clock and try to get out with a win.
You know, everyone keeps focusing on these drops, and I just want to say Ronald Jones also caught the ball 6 times, which is the second most in a single game in his career. So let's give Jones a little bit of props that he actually put his hands on the ball and held on to it 6 whole times that game. You know, Callan, I see that you have Scotty Miller outside your top 50. You do not have him in that. If you are stuck at wide receiver and everyone's injured, you can flex him range. So why do you have Miller ranked lower than Eric?
There's just more guys I take the shot on. And I was also incorporating the injury, seeing the reports now. It's a little more trending positively. I'd move him up a bit. But there's just other receivers between where I'd have him that I'd rather take the shot on this week. It's just you don't know how this Buccaneers offense is going to go. Is this the Gronk week? Is it going to be, like Eric said at the beginning of the show, ground and pound with Ronald Jones? So I'd rather look elsewhere. We saw one week where Scotty Miller was supposed to be the guy, and he did nothing. So against a better defense, not sure I'm buying it.
All right. And then for the Chicago Bears, you know, it's a tough offense to predict because it's not very good. The problem is, you know, Allen Robinson, he's been better these past couple of weeks. We hopefully that trend continues, especially with Foles under center, who, you know, I think we all can safely say now is better than Mitch Trubisky. But with David Montgomery, I think that's someone who everyone's kind of on the fence about. I think everyone who has Montgomery on their roster every week is like, do I dare start this guy? Because the Bears want to run the ball, but also they can't get him any lanes to run in. Callan, are you starting David Montgomery this week?
Low-end RB2 flex. It's a bad matchup. And like you said, the Bears' offense has not really been able to get him going. But he should get some volume, but I don't like the matchup. So you might be forced to start him, but this isn't his breakout week by any means.
Yeah, Buccaneers defense, one of the best against the run. They've shown it every week, especially last week when they held every Chargers running back to, I think all of them had under 10 yards. Or Eckler might have had 12 yards, but I mean, you know, obviously the hamstring thing. So it's going to be tough for Montgomery. And then, you know, Allen Robinson, you're starting. Is there any other, you know, pass catcher in this Bears offense that you're interested in starting, Eric?
No, I mean, you said the Foles is better than Trubisky. I guess he is, but I mean, they had a really late garbage time touchdown last week to salvage some stats there. Luckily, Allen Robinson got it, but no, I'm pretty down on this offense, and I'm pretty high on the Tampa Bay defense. They're, like you said, I mean, they're allowing the fewest yards per attempt on the year and second fewest rushing yards, and they've given up a little more in the passing game just because teams have to do something on them, but they're sacking the quarterback as well. So this is a stay away from me, except for Allen Robinson. And David Montgomery's right. He's the first like player I don't want to start in my rankings at RB26. So you may be forced to, but I would rather start someone else than Montgomery this week. That's for sure.
And also, you both have Jimmy Graham in their TE streamer section. Is that what you were about to say, Callan?
Yeah, I was about to say I'll take a flyer and stream Jimmy Graham if you have that option. I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I like Miller and Darnell Mooney as players in the receiving core, but they seem to be kind of sharing each other's work a little bit, and I wouldn't trust either of them here.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned they had that garbage time touchdown last week. I mean, the Colts are also no slouch on defense, so a couple of tough matchups in a row for the Bears. Let's go to Atlanta, where we are panicking on their offense, or maybe we're not. I don't know. We're somewhere in there, and they take on the Carolina Panthers. I find this incredible. The Atlanta Falcons are still favored by 1 point. I really don't see, you know, how they can be favored. They're, you know, obviously they're at home and we expect them to be better, but the Panthers have been better. They've looked really good, you know, since Christian McCaffrey has been hurt. So again, as I say, always, we don't need that scrub. Let's leave Mike Davis out there. And Mike Davis, who you both have ranked right in that RB1 range. So we're believing in Mike Davis, and also all the running backs are hurt and or not playing, but we believe in him, right, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, it's wild how high we have him. RB13 for me, RB11 for Callan, and it's partially how good he's looked and partially what the position's like. So he's getting a ton of volume in the passing game, and he got a little dinged up last week, and Reggie Bonifon saw some time behind him, but now Bonifon's hurt. So I would expect Mike Davis to get a heavy workload, and this Atlanta defense cannot cover running backs out of the backfield. We just saw what the Packers did to them, and that's kind of been a notorious thing for them the last couple years. So Davis should get a ton of work, and if they get the lead, he'll get carries, and if they're behind, he'll get passing game work. So I love Davis this week. Probably could rank him even higher. It's just I don't know, there's some just better athletes above him on the rankings.
Yeah, if anything, Davis might be better in the passing game than just straight up getting carries, although he's been effective in both. And also, you guys both have Teddy Bridgewater in your startable range for quarterbacks. Eric has him just outside the top 12, Callan just inside. So is Teddy B someone we should be going to pick up? And is he, are we talking a streamer because it's the Falcons, or do you think long-term Teddy Bridgewater is a good quarterback?
He's definitely a streamer this week against Atlanta. I had a couple leagues where I needed to get a streamer because I had a quarterback on bye or unproductive, but this matchup's a goldmine for him. So I'm picking up this week, and I wouldn't start him every week, but he's in the conversation every week now of just how good this offense has looked all year. So I'm not going to say start him every week from here on in, but keep an eye on him. This offense has been a lot better than I would have thought before a year.
I'm going to give everyone a fair warning. 2 weeks ago, I picked up Gardner Minshew in my family league to stream. Didn't turn out well. This past week, I picked up Joe Burrow. I mean, it was fine, but I was hoping for more. And so now I picked up Teddy Bridgewater. So he's going to do poorly. Don't pick him up. Don't stream him because I'm jinxed in my family league.
Same boat. Same boat.
Yeah. Eric, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, we're starting them both, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Falcons giving up the second most passing yards and third most per attempt. So this is a great matchup. Really, the only concern is if the Panthers get a lead and just kind of sit on the ball a little bit. But maybe Vegas knows what they're talking about. The Falcons will put up a fight and we can get a nice little shootout here.
All right. And then with the Falcons, you both have Matt Ryan ranked as QB8. Both have Todd Gurley right in that RB16 slot. And, you know, we're starting Calvin Ridley. Julio Jones, I don't think he is really expected to play. He aggravated the injury on Monday and you know, wasn't looking, you know, too great. And I don't think he practiced today. But if he's playing, are you starting him?
If he's playing, you kind of have to start him. This is a good matchup for him, but can't say you're doing it too confidently right now of just how banged up he's been all year, but he's a name you got to start when he's out there.
Yep, I agree. I mean, you would hope that they're going to be safe with him. I mean, since they had to pull him mid-game last week, if he's out there this week, I would hope that means he's good to go, and they'll just rest him if he's that borderline. So, yeah, start him if he's out there.
And are you starting Gage with Jones? Are you starting Gage without Jones? Or are you starting Gage, you know, or not starting either way?
I think regardless, he's probably wide receiver 3. I mean, they're going to throw a lot. We know that. And even if Julio and Ridley are out there, they've both been a little banged up. So I would get Gage in my lineup unless I'm loaded at wide receiver.
Yeah, I'd agree. Wide receiver 3. He's got work most season. Last week was a little shaky, but they'll bounce back this week against this Carolina matchup.
They were all shaky last week.
That's true.
All right, and then Hayden Hurst is right in that tight end streamer range. If you have Hayden Hurst, he's probably the best tight end on your roster, so you can start him. And let's go to Kansas City, where Vegas predicts a blowout as Kansas City is favored by 13 points over the 2-2 Las Vegas Raiders. Over under set at 56.5, so we're expecting a high scoring game from these two teams. You know, there's the obvious players on the Kansas City side. They're one of the easier teams every week. Mahomes, Edwards-Helaire, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. But is there anyone else on this Chiefs offense that you're wanting to start, Eric?
I mean, I never want to start Sammy Watkins, but he has, you know, he's maybe after that, he had that big first week and then he had a dud week too. And he's been a little more involved since then. So this week with all the stuff going on out there in the rest of the league, you could do worse than Sammy Watkins. He was, like I said, I mean, he had 7 targets last week, 8 the week before. So he's getting work. He's not as explosive as he used to be. So I don't think the ceiling's there, but you could do worse than Sammy Watkins.
Callan, are you starting Sammy Watkins with any confidence?
No, I never start Sammy Watkins with confidence. Just I know Hardman hasn't been getting the targets this year, but the Hardman breakout game is going to come eventually. And I know the second I make the call and go Watkins, it's going to be a Hardman game. So I prefer just to avoid that if I can.
Or you could just do us all the favor and start Watkins, and that way we can get the Hardman breakout game and have something more exciting to talk about.
I'll take the bullet for you guys.
Hardman does have a touchdown the last 2 weeks and 10 targets total over the last two, but the snap share is not quite there yet, but he's trending in the right direction for sure. So, you could start him too. I'm not going to fault you for starting anyone in this Chiefs offense, really.
All right, and then for the Raiders, obviously you're starting Josh Jacobs and you're starting Darren Waller, but is there anyone else on this Raiders team you want to start?
Nope.
No, not really. Ruggs when he's healthy.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So let's go to Baltimore, where there's another, blowout of Bruin, as the Ravens are favored by 13 points over the 1-2-1 Cincinnati Bengals. It looked like there's a number in the win column there, Eric.
It's beautiful. It's symmetrical.
Battle for the AFC North is obviously it's the two best teams in the division duking it out. I you know, it's funny. We talked about the Falcons offense and the Texans offense, you know, early on in the show talking about panicking, but is it time to panic on the Ravens offense? Because, I mean, obviously we're all panicking about the backfield. I think that's very clear. At this point, I'm considering dropping Ingram and picking up Gus Edwards because I just don't know anymore. But, you know, Marquise Brown has he's had a few good weeks. He's had a few not so good weeks. Mark Andrews had the week where he only had three targets. Was it this week? They only had three targets, but he had two touchdowns. And it's just a little bit rough to look at that. And then Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's had that big run, but I mean, he has not been anywhere close to QB1, which is where he is being drafted. Are we panicking about the Ravens offense?
I wouldn't fully be, just because you're kind of getting what you expected. You knew Mark Andrews was going to be a top tier tight end. Marquise Brown, you drafted him knowing he has those boom bust weeks. And while Lamar Jackson hasn't been exactly MVP level, he's still a QB1. So the only panicking is what you said is with the running backs, but you're kind of getting what you expected, for at least I expected, from Andrews and Marquise Brown.
Yeah, I almost nominated them for that section, and I wouldn't have said I was panicked other than the running backs, like you said. But I mean, this isn't the same like destroying the NFL offense that we saw. So it's a little bit of a worry. Marquise Brown, I mean, he's had six targets or more every week, so the work's there. But Lamar hasn't exactly taken like a huge step in the passing game. Like you said, Mark Andrews, his targets just aren't there, but he makes it work. But he's had two 3-target games, actually, but he's had two 2-touchdown games. So, you know, he's still a great start at tight end. But this sets up as a Lamar game for me personally. The Bengals have actually been decent against the pass this year, but they're not good against the run. Lamar had two different 30-point games against them last year, and this is just the type of offense that the Bengals struggle with. So, you know, we saw like the Steelers last year do a bunch of kind of wildcat stuff against them, and this is just, they're not good against these kind of run games. So I expect Lamar to blow up here, have a big week. I've got him ranked QB3. So I think it's Lamar this week and Mark Andrews, but it's hard to get super excited about the rest of them.
The Devlin Hodges days.
Yeah.
If there's anything that I can feel confident about each week in the show, it's Eric predicting that the opposing team will just do lots of work on the Bengals. Yeah. Lamar Jackson is the QB8 so far this year. So I got to ask, if you drafted Lamar Jackson, do you want to sell on him, or are you just hoping that he turns it around?
You can sell him for the name value, but you know he's got that safe rushing floor where he's going to be a QB1 every week, even if he's not exactly MVP level Lamar Jackson. So you could sell him because someone might bank on him being MVP Lamar Jackson, but if you have him, you're probably fine with him most weeks. And this week, like Eric said, should be a blow up game for him.
Yeah, I basically agree. I mean, I think there's going to be some of those. There's still going to be some of those 100-yard rushing games ahead with a couple rushing touchdowns. So I got the Bengals, Eagles, Steelers, Colts on the schedule. So there's some good defenses ahead, but I trust him still. He's going to have a good year.
All right, maybe wait till after this game if you want to sell on Lamar Jackson, because he's going to do work against the Bengals. Now, Bengals have one of the tougher, you know, matchups they're going to have all year, because this Ravens defense has been really good. Joe Mixon went from, you know, going up against one of the worst rushing defenses in the league to one of the best. So you both have Joe Mixon ranked in your top 15. I know we've talked about how rough it is at running back, and Mixon just had that big week. But is there any concern for you about the floor here for Mixon?
Yeah, for sure. If this gets ugly, he could have a really bad week. If they can stay in it, though, he could have a really nice week, and they did involve him in the passing game. So I guess Cowan's got him ahead of me. I am worried, but the first like quarter is going to be really important for Mixon.
It's pretty much what Eric said. It's the running backs are so after 10, you're like, do I really want to put this guy here? So you're starting Mixon, you have him. I liked what I saw last week. This is a much worse matchup, so it's a lower floor, but he'll get the volume. And I was going to say, like Eric said, the passing game work was encouraging last week.
All right. And then speaking of the passing game, I mean, Tyler Boyd is obviously the, you know, Burrow's favorite target. You both have him ranked just outside wide receiver 2 range. So Boyd is probably an easy flex, if not start, for most teams. But T. Higgins and A.J. Green, I think have both been trending in the exact opposite directions all year long. Eric, you have Higgins ranked above Green, and Callan, you have Green ranked above Higgins. So let's start with Callan. Why are you starting Green over Higgins?
It's pretty much a coin toss. I think I only have them a couple spots away from each other. I can't fully quit it yet. It's probably fall. I want to believe in it one more week, but one more week of it, I'm gonna make the switch. So they're right there. I wouldn't blame me going either way, but it's just Green still was getting the work. I just want to buy into it one more week, and I probably wouldn't even start him. But if you had to play one, I'll still try for Green one more week, but I can't say I'm comfortable with it. It's just more of a kind of a gut call.
I mean, last week was my last chance for AJ Green against Jacksonville, and he had 5 targets, 1 catch for 3 yards. He's got no touchdowns on the year. T. Higgins, I mean, it's 6, 9, and 7 targets the last 3 weeks, 77 yards last week. He's got 2 touchdowns on the year. I think he's fresher, healthier, and just a better option for Burrow at this point, especially just trying to build chemistry going forward. So give me Higgins.
All right. Well, and neither of them are great starts this week. As like we mentioned, the Ravens defense is just really tough. So if you're in a bad spot, they both have Higgins kind of in that you're in a bad spot and have to start a wide receiver range, but hopefully it does not come to that for you. Let's go to Houston, where the 1-3 Jacksonville Jaguars are taking on the 0-4 Houston Texans, making them the second team of the week that is favored despite being 0-4, as Houston is favored by 6 points against Jacksonville, which actually, based on the way they played against Cincinnati last week, I fully understand. Let's start with Houston. We've talked about them a bit, to open the show in terms of being panicking, on Watson, on Johnson, on Fuller. But based on your rankings, it looks like you guys are still ready to go all in on all 3 of those guys I just mentioned. Watson, you have both ranked in the top 7. David Johnson, both in the top 20, and Fuller. Eric, you even have him ranked as wide receiver 12. So is that, matchup related, or you believe in Will Fuller still?
A little of both. I mean, to be perfectly honest, these were before Bill O'Brien got fired. But I mean, as much as we didn't like him, how much does that even knock anyone down? This matchup for the Texans is a really good one. Jaguars given up the 3rd most passing yards per attempt. And they've given up the, 25 worst giving up rushing yards. So I just think in general, this is a great matchup for the Texans, and I'm willing to start them. Fuller's, he's been, other than that one game that we don't know what it was, injury or just the Ravens defense. He's had 5 or more targets each game. He's had 2 100 yard games already, 2 touchdowns. So I think Fuller has a big game here. And Deshaun Watson, all he's been missing from his game is he hasn't been running as much. His passing numbers have been pretty solid. So I don't think they're holding him back. I think that's coming. And maybe QB7 could be too low this week. He's one of those players that can blow up.
Fuller's had 15 or more PPR points in every single week, except for that, weird Baltimore Ravens game, which just keeps lingering in my mind, because that's kind of what we've come to expect from Fuller. Year over year, is just there's games where he just completely vanishes, and sometimes it's games like these where you're like, yeah, this should be a huge game for you. So
that can happen at receiver. We just watched Calvin Ridley get 0 catches against, he was on the field the whole time. So receivers are weird sometimes.
Callan, let's talk about Jacksonville, because you have Minshew as your 13th ranked quarterback. You have Robinson as your 12th ranked running back, and Chark as number 9. So you believe in this this Jaguars offense to do something this week?
They've been impressive so far. Chark last week with 2 touchdowns, and yes, it was against Cincinnati, but this week they're playing Houston. Houston's defense has been very bad all season. It's clear DJ Chark's number 1 receiver. I like him as a top 10 play this week. I think it's another blow-up sort of week against Houston defense, and Minshew, he's a streamer. Other than that bad Miami week, it's been a good season for him, and another great matchup. I'll roll him out as well, and Robinson's getting the work. And again, matchup makes him a great play, so all 3 of them I'm comfortable, mainly based off matchup, but they're good options going forward, and this matchup just makes them great options.
Eric, you have Chark ranked outside your top 20. You're not as high on his potential this week?
I was literally just looking at that. I like him this week a lot. So, I've got him right behind CeeDee Lamb and Terry McLaurin and Robbie Anderson against Atlanta. There's just some really good, options right above him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he finished up where Callan has him. So I'm definitely playing him. He's got a nice red zone role. He had 2 last week, and that was kind of his thing last year, was a bunch of touchdowns. So definitely like Chark here. I think this ends up as pretty much a shootout, and we'll be happy playing a lot of these guys.
And you both have Chenault ranked outside your top 40, but you know he's been a player who's trending pretty much every week on Twitter and just kind of in the you know industry. So is this a week where you know I like I said outside top 40, so you're not starting him confidently, but would you fire him up in this matchup?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I haven't seen the same things everyone else has been seeing. I think he looks like a good player, but I haven't seen like a Jerry Jeudy wide receiver one type thing with him. So if it's just he's battling with touches with, you know, a few different options, Keelan Cole and Chris Conley behind Chark. So it's more of just a target share sort of thing for me.
Yeah, I'd agree. I just don't think the volume's been fully there. This is a matchup where you can maybe roll him out, but just the volume's kind of unpredictable.
And then Cooks is still 48% rostered. He's a player that's been hitting the waiver wire a lot. And Eric, you're pretty down on him. You have him outside your top 50. But Callan, you have him at wide receiver 40. So are you one of the 48% that's still rostering him and maybe throwing him out there this week?
It's another guy I just don't want to fully quit. And this matchup just makes me think that it's maybe one more good week coming. But, you know, it's been rough. Last week was very disappointing, but I'm kind of just, he's got a 17% target share where still intrigues me, and this matchup he could have another great game, so I'll take a shot at him for one more week against this defense.
All right, so let's go to New York, where the Arizona Cardinals are traveling to take on the New York Jets. Arizona is favored by 7 points this week, and the over under at 46.5, because no one believes that the Jets can score points. So are we starting anyone on the Jets?
I'm starting Bell if he's out there. Just kind of how bad running back looks this week. If he's playing, I'll put him out there.
I would rather start Crowder than Bell, honestly. So give me Crowder.
Yeah, Crowder's been good when he's been healthy. I think really surprised the being active last Thursday and then, you know, having the week that he did. So, you know, Crowder's definitely startable. I do not share Callan's opinion on Le'Veon Bell being startable, but, you know, I've also been burned by him a lot.
It's someone I just can't fully quit, and that kind of theme of me today is there's guys I just can't quit. And with Flacco, I just feel like they're gonna give him work just because the Jets need to give somebody it, and so I'm kind of just hoping that he gets the volume. But
you know, that sounds like a perfect role for Frank Gore to me, so I don't know. When you need to give someone work, yeah, there's Frank Gore for you.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about a better offense. Talk about the Cardinals offense, please.
Is it that much better?
Well, I was actually going to say, because, you know, Kenyon Drake, I'm not really sure he's any more. Well, he definitely is, because he gets to go up against the Jets defense, but it's still not that much more exciting to me than Le'Veon Bell. If, you know, Bell was healthy and not dealing with Frank Gore, which both those things are there. But you have Chase Edmonds just 7 spots behind Kenyon Drake. Is this the week Edmonds takes the role over potentially?
I don't know. It's a little bit of hedging there, but I think the door is wide open. Edmonds has been getting the passing game work, which is what we wanted out of Drake. Honestly, I thought that was going to give Drake a nice floor, and it's been missing. So they've been giving it to Edmonds. Drake got banged up towards the end. He's fine. But if there was a week that they were going to be like, okay, let's do more of a split here, this would be it. So you figure they get up big on the Jets and tons of work to go around. So I think Edmonds could sneak his way into some points here. So it's just not that I'm going to feel good about starting him, but I wouldn't be surprised. We look after this week, it's kind of a turning point in this backfield.
All right, you guys both have DeAndre Hopkins ranked as the number one wide receiver this week. So obviously not a lot of faith in the Jets defense. And well, I mean, why would you? And Kyler Murray ranked as the number 6 quarterback. Is Murray someone you guys are a bit worried about after the past 2 weeks' performances?
A little bit, but this is just has the taste of a get right game for him. If he has another struggling week this week, then I'll panic a little bit on him. But I feel like things will get going much better for him this week.
Yeah, I mean, the offense looks terrible, but I mean, his rushing ability looks better than ever. So he's going to bail you out there. I am worried about this offense, and it's definitely part of this is the Jets. But if he was against a really good defense, I would not have him ranked anywhere near this high, I don't think. So let's see how he looks. But I don't know what we can even take from this game, honestly.
Yeah, it's always tough. I mean, the Jets and Giants games always just seem like such, you know, complete toss-ups and washes, and there's really not much that you can learn from them. But, you know, I do want to say, you know, Kyler Murray has had over 24 PPR points, I think, every single week, but a lot of that has been the running game. Last 2 weeks, he only threw for 133 yards last week, and then he threw 3 interceptions against the Lions 2 weeks ago. So you know, just a little something to be thinking about there for Murray, just from a passing game perspective. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Steelers coming off their, you know, impromptu bye week. They're 3-0 and facing the 1-2-1 Philadelphia Eagles. You know, Pittsburgh's favored by 7 points. And I mean, part of the problem is that the Eagles just don't have anyone that's healthy. You know, Alshon Jeffrey and Deshaun Jackson were practicing. They were limited. Both of them are dealing with lower body injuries. Dallas Goedert still out with the ankle injury. So, you know, is there any reason to believe anyone besides Sanders or Ertz can be, you know, worthwhile in this game for Philadelphia?
No, this is just too difficult of a matchup against Pittsburgh. And yeah, it's really a Pittsburgh matchup is pretty difficult. And you don't know who's going to play. You don't know how much they'll play if they're on the field. I'll start Ertz and Sanders and then just sit back and watch.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Ward, you know, when he's the only one out there, he's had some decent games, but it's still kind of been underwhelming this year. And this matchup against the Steelers, I mean, they're not going to give up anything on the ground, and they're just about top 10 in passing yards per attempt. So it's tough all around. I'm ranking Miles Sanders up there just because I just keep expecting him to have a breakout week, and he gets a ton of work. But other than that, it's a mess.
With Ertz, I just want to say he is the 16th ranked tight end on the season in terms of points in a PPR league. You both have him ranked in the top six. You know, Steelers defense is pretty tough. Are you guys just thinking Ertz is getting the volume and you know, he's shown that he has the ability in the past, or is there something else that we're missing?
I am worried about him. I kind of wanted to rank him lower, but we've been talking about how deep this tight end group is, but the bottom's starting to fall out of it a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. We went on and on about the, Evan Engram last week on what we saw. You know, he's down below him. Dalton Schultz is a little dinged up. Hunter Henry, you know, he's been a little up and down. So it's just kind of he's a focal point of the offense. So I didn't feel good ranking him below six, but I'm a little worried. It didn't look good last week.
Yeah, it's a bit concerning, but like Eric said, he's the focal point of the offense. Wentz's got to throw to somebody, and maybe once the receivers start getting healthier, you can start making that move, but it's just, I can't feel confident yet when their offense is just so banged up when he's the only guy standing on two legs really on the offense right now.
All right, then the Steelers look a lot more interesting than the Eagles do. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, both of you have him in the starting range. James Conner's obviously a start, and then Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster both didn't practice today. But I think they're just managing. Both of them are coming off of you know, some injuries, so I think they're just managing them coming out of the bye week, and they're expected to play. And if they do, you're playing them. So pretty simple there for Pittsburgh. You're playing those four fantasy relevant guys, and I guess if you're in a two tight end league or something, you're playing Eric Ebron. Let's see what the Los Angeles Rams and Washington football team can bring us. Rams are 3-1 traveling to Washington. They're favored by a touchdown. And which backfield are you more interested in, Eric?
Well, it's a little complicated this week because Cam Akers looks like he's going to come back. So now we've got a three-headed monster in Los Angeles. I'm more interested.
Three-headed, like something much less than a monster.
Well, yeah. This is still a good offense, though, and they want to run the ball. So I'm really interested in them. So season long, it's the Rams. This week, I like Antonio Gibson just a little bit more than them. So this week I'll take Gibson, but rest of season, I can't quit this Rams backfield. I think one of them's going to break out.
Callan?
No, I'm with Eric. I'm quitting him this week. I have no idea how the backfield's going to shake out. Last week it was a Malcolm Brown game. If Cam Akers is back, I doubt it'll be a Cam Akers game, but you never know if McVay. So I've liked what I've seen from Gibson of late. He's getting much more work each and every week. So he continues to rise up my rankings. So I'm more interested in watching the Rams and see how that plays out, but I'm definitely interested in Gibson right now and how he's been playing.
All right, so are you guys starting Daryl Henderson this week?
I think so. I mean, who else? Yeah, it might be easier to ask me who I would, you know, some comparisons on who I would want to start, but I think you kind of have to if you have him.
You can flex him, but that backfield is just so unpredictable that I can't do it comfortably.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the guys who have been picked up a lot. Are you starting Daryl Henderson or Joshua Kelly?
So, I mean, Kelly, I don't love his matchup against New Orleans and Washington. I mean, they are getting, you know, they've given up the 23rd most rushing yards on the season, 16 most per attempt. So I think I still like Henderson's upside, but the return of Akers makes it tough. But I'm going to go Henderson.
I'll go Henderson as well.
Henderson or James White?
Henderson. White. Yeah, Henderson.
White for Callan, Henderson for Eric. I obviously assuming PPR leagues, right, Callan?
Yes.
Okay, what about, would you start Malcolm Brown or Damian Harris?
Do I have to?
You have Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, and Nick Chubb on your team.
I have them back-to-back in my rankings. I will go Harris, but yeah, I like the what I saw from Harris. So I'll go him over Brown.
Yeah, I think I agree. I had Brown one spot ahead, but now that Akers looks like he's coming back, I'll take Harris.
All right, and then if we're talking flex, because that might be the position you're in, let's do, would you start Daryl Henderson or Justin Jefferson?
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
This is the week where I'm taking almost all the receivers over the running backs in the flex range.
Let's see how low we have to go. Henderson or Scotty Miller?
Here's where I'll go Henderson.
That's fine. I think I'd still go Scotty Miller as long as we get a good injury report.
Henderson or Cole Beasley?
Man, I like this Bills passing game. but they're also in they're in the COVID game, right? Now, give me Henderson.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's Henderson. Okay, nice little way to get out of that one. Let's do Henderson or Chenault.
Henderson.
Henderson.
Okay. All right, so that's kind of where you're looking at. If you have Henderson, if he's an RB2, you're almost certainly starting him. If he's a flex potential, maybe look at the wide receivers on your list. And then Brown obviously knocked down quite a few spots from that. And Tyler Higbee, you're starting, which if you're starting Tyler Higbee, though, you might want to look at getting another tight end, you know, because Higbee so far this year in the 4 weeks in PPR has been the tight end 22, the tight end 2, the tight end 22, and then the tight end 27. So, if you have Higbee, you might want to start looking at stashing a tight end that, you know, can perform a little bit more consistently, if that exists. With Washington, the big story, obviously, is Kyle Allen is now under center instead of Dwayne Haskins. In a week where 30 teams are supposedly playing, Eric has Kyle Allen ranked as the 31st quarterback. So, that just tells you what we think of this Washington football team passing attack. Are you concerned about Terry McLaurin with Allen under center?
Absolutely. Haskins, the one thing he's been able to do is get the ball to McLaurin. They've got the Ohio State connection. So, yeah, it's a concern. I think McLaurin's good enough where he'll make this work. But if I'm a McLaurin owner, I would have rather not seen this happen.
Yeah, I'd completely agree. It's concerning, but he's gotten so much volume where you would think the game plan would be like, hey, Kyle, get the ball to Terry and then hand it off to Gibson. Yeah. But we know it never works out how we hope. But I think still the volume should be there for him. So it drops him down, but he's still – you're comfortably starting each week for now still.
And Eric, I see you have Logan Thomas in your top 12. Is that because of anything with Kyle Allen, or is it just there's no other tight ends that are any good this week?
Some of both. But yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, he's gotten the targets and Haskins just hasn't had the right connection with them. And maybe that flips some and Kyle Allen's better at getting the ball to him. So, you know, I mean, he's had a 7, 9, and 8 target game this year. It's hard to pass that up at tight end. And then tight end's just kind of gross right now. So that's where I'm at.
And just to be clear, because I don't think I clarified with McLaurin, like I said, you're a little concerned, but you're still starting McLaurin, right, Eric?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And you're starting Antonio Gibson. And if you're a coach in the Washington football organization, you're going to get Peyton Barber some carries because why would you do anything else? Let's go to San Francisco, where the Miami Dolphins are 1-3 and trying to, you know, improve on that against the San Francisco 49ers, who we've talked a lot about already because they have a lot of players on the injury report. So we'll start with Miami going up against this tough San Francisco defense. Devontae Parker, Myles Gaskin, and Mike Gesicki are probably the only three players in Miami that you're thinking about starting. And where are you at on those three guys, Eric?
I've been kind of liking starting Myles Gaskin every week, and this is the week where that kind of ends against San Francisco. They're so good. I mean, they've been a little worse against the running game, so maybe they try to get him the ball, but they're giving up the second fewest passing yards per attempt in the league, and same thing the 49ers did last year, and Gaskin's actually been chipping in the passing game, so I'm running away from him. Devontae Parker, I mean, he's too good and too big a part of the offense to probably bench, but I've got him dropped down to wide receiver 26. And Gesicki's kind of like Logan Thomas. I got him at tight end 10, but I don't really feel great about playing him there, so you're just kind of stuck with him probably. But if there's a streaming option you like better, go for it.
Colin, where are you at on those three guys?
Pretty much the same thing Eric said. It's Parker's going to get the volume. It's just the main receiver in Miami, so I'm good starting him just for that. Gaskin, you can maybe play as an RB2 flexish, but I don't love it. I'd probably just go with the wide receivers there. And then Gesicki, it's you're kind of hoping for a tight end or a touchdown at that point in tight end. So yeah, we'll see. He should get it, but last week was pretty gross. So you play him, just hope for the best.
Yeah, Devontae Parker has been one of those guys that has always performed, even really kind of matchup, not matchup dependent, the exact opposite of that. He's kind of matchup proof, even against tough defenses. He's performed in the last year. And the one thing that gives me concern with Gaskin, obviously the Niners defense, but he's been getting a lot of the work, but he has not really turned that into much of anything. I mean, neither has Breida or Howard. So I guess his job security is still kind of safe, but I always wonder when the Dolphins are going to start looking at someone else who I'm sure they're trying and hoping any one of those three will turn it, you know, something out of nothing, but yeah. I don't know. We'll see what's going on there. Hopefully, you know, one of them can show out against San Francisco. And then as far as the 49ers, I see a lot of red in this sheet, you know, for a lot of talented players, but I just have to assume it's because we never really know with San Francisco who's going to be getting the targets, who's going to be getting the carries, especially with, you know, we don't know if Debo's going to be at 100%. We don't know if Mostert's playing. We don't know if Garoppolo's playing. So what are you doing right now if you have a lot of – if you have 49ers on your roster, Eric, what are you doing with that team?
I think we can start both McKinnon and Mostert this week, honestly. I mean, I know you'd be a little worried with Mostert that they ease him in, but I don't think they need to force it with Mostert, so especially against the Dolphins this week. So I think if he's out there, he's good to go. And yeah, I mean, I like Ayuk and Samuel way more than my rankings would suggest, wide receiver 46 and 48. But like you said, quarterback's a question mark. We'll see how good Garoppolo is or whoever starts. We don't know how this offense is going to shake out when everyone's healthy. So these are two that if you were desperate and you had to start them, though, I wouldn't be as bummed out as some of these rankings in the 40s starting them. So there's at least some hope here. It's just I think there's a pretty low floor as well.
Well, as of right now, you don't have Mostert ranked on the list, I think, because we weren't really sure if he was going to be healthy. So let's do that right now. Okay. Would you rather have Mostert or Devontae Freeman?
Give me Mostert. I don't even know where I have Freeman ranked.
Yeah, but Mostert.
Mostert or Myles Gaskin?
Mostert.
Mostert, barely.
Okay, Mostert or Ronald Jones?
I'll take Jones there.
Yeah, I'll take Jones there as well.
All right, so Mostert's going to figure in somewhere in the 24 to 26 range, yeah, between Jones and Gaskin. Callan, are you feeling similarly about these wide receivers? Do you have any other thoughts on this 49ers offense?
No, it's a real uncomfortable position right now. This matchup should be great, but you don't know who's going to be starting. You don't know who's going to be on the field for quarterback and running back. So I like what I've seen from Ayuk, and Debo Samuel is supposed to be the number one, and he'll be back and he's slowly getting healthier, so he'll be great. So if you have to play him, it's pretty much the same with Eric said. If you have them or if you have to play him, you shouldn't hate it fully, but kind of depends on who's quarterbacking.
Yeah. All right. And you're starting George Kittle. Unless you're my mom, which last year around this time, she dropped George Kittle in one of her leagues. And I had to very calmly explain to her why she needs to immediately get her phone and tell her commissioner she made a huge mistake. I know she's going to listen to this. So
I thought you were going to say you very calmly picked him up right away.
No, it's her work league. I was like, you need to tell your commissioner, who's also your boss, that you made a mistake and you want George Kittle back on your roster. Let's go to Dallas. New York Giants are 0-4. Dallas Dallas Cowboys 1-3. Over under set at 54. Cowboys are favored by 9.5, which makes me very uncomfortable because I don't think we're very good this year. But I do have to say, the New York Giants are currently last in the NFL in total points scored with 47 points. And that's, you know, less than teams that have only played three games. And the Cowboys are last in points allowed with 146 total points allowed. So something has to give. Eric, is the Giants offense going to wake up, or is the Cowboys defense going to do anything?
I think the Giants offense is going to wake up comparatively to what they've been doing against some really tough defenses. So I said in my rankings this week, I'm a little worried. I mean, Dak is still, I think, my QB5 this week. Is that QB4? So I definitely think he's going to have a big week. But I mean, he's been throwing so much that I could see the Cowboys, if they get a lead, just trying to sit on this, take a little pressure off them, run it a lot with Ezekiel Elliott. So I could see this being a little lackluster from the Cowboys offense if they can get a big lead here. So, but Giants should be throwing all day, and I think there'll be a lot of targets to go around for their pass catchers.
So we've said that the Cowboys, especially after Sunday's debacle, is start everyone territory, and that includes, you know, like start the water boy for the opposing team. So I got to say, I'm a little bit surprised at these rankings for the Giants. Callan, which of these Giants would you be most confident starting against this Cowboys defense?
Slayton. I mean, he's been the clear-ish number one in that offense. So he's the big play. He's the more of the upside than Golden Tate. So I'll start him. You got to start someone against the Cowboys defense so bad. Jones is going to be throwing a lot. So I'll start Slayton. If you need to, I think Golden Tate could be fine, I guess. And like a wide receiver of 3 flex sort of thing.
Maybe like a streamer for a team that's desperate.
Yeah, he has a pretty safe floor, and as long as he doesn't get suspended or anything like that after last week's game, which doesn't sound like after what happened at the end of the game, they're going to be disciplined for it. But I mean, he's safe, and this Cowboy defense is not good. So,
Eric, would you be starting Golden Tate?
I feel about the same. I'd rather start Slayton, more big playability. But yeah, I mean, like I said, these targets have to go to somebody. And if Evan Engram can't do something this week, I could see those being funneled to Tate. So, it's just, I mean, I hope that Daniel Jones isn't regressing and it was just a tough schedule. So that's a little bit of the worry here.
And with Engram, is this I don't know what you call it. The I can't quit Engram game to, you know, steal Callan's phrase. If Engram doesn't perform this week against the Cowboys, are you ready to quit on him, Eric?
I mean, to an extent, yeah. But look at the tight end rankings here. But I mean, I don't know how far you can rank him if he's still getting the work. So it's just kind of the tight end position in general. But sure, if there's someone you think's got better touchdown potential, if the Giants are just not scoring even on the Cowboys, then yeah, maybe you go to Mo Alie-Cox or Jimmy Graham, someone like that.
Yeah, he's got the highest target percentage on the Giants offense, and this matchup you're playing him. But sure, if this week goes poorly, you can maybe steer clear. But if he's still getting the work without tight end is, I don't know if I can fully get off him even after this week.
Oh, Callan's on my side. It was just Mike that's against me last week.
All right. And then with the Cowboys, you know, Eric touched on it. Obviously, we still think a big game for Dak and for Zeke. And this might be the real big game for Zeke, as the Cowboys might finally be playing with a lead and not trying to, you know, desperately come from behind. So, you know, with that, I mean, you guys have Amari Cooper both ranked in the top five. But, you know, with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, you know, in that mid-20s range, you know, does the game script concern you at all about starting Lamb or Gallup?
I think it does more so with Gallup. Lamb's got a pretty solid kind of slot role going with some nice volume. So Gallup's the big play guy, a little more boom or bust. I mean, maybe he booms in this one, but if they're not chucking it all over the place, I could see him getting left out. So I think CeeDee Lamb's pretty safe here still, but I do have some game script concerns.
This matchup made me lower him a bit, but Dak's still going to probably throw the ball, and Lamb's been very targeted. Gallup, starting to get very concerned if he seems to be the third, maybe even the fourth option behind Dalton Schultz. I'm still going to start him because you're playing the Giants, but he's on the, if he has another poor week in this matchup, then he might be close to outside my top 30 or outside of my top. Yeah. In my, maybe in the low 30s, it's in my rankings eventually.
Yeah.
I forgot to say that.
Yeah. That's all good. I mean, you have Gallup at 31, Eric, you have Gallup at 29. So he's definitely right there straddling that line. Dalton Schultz, both of you are ranked as a tight end 8. Both of you have him above Evan Ingram. Schultz has been targeted a lot for the Cowboys, and you know he really factors to be a big part of this offense. All right, so big AFC matchup: the 3-1 Indianapolis Colts against the 3-1 Cleveland Browns. I think this is kind of surprising to see both these teams doing as well as they have, but the Colts have had one heck of a defense so far, and the Browns have had one heck of an offense. So let's talk about the Browns' offense first, because Nick Chubb is going to miss quite a bit of time. And we're not really sure what to make of this backfield. Obviously, we know Kareem Hunt, if he's ready to go, is going to be, getting a lot of touches. And, this is the same groin injury from last week that he played through. So we expect him to be out there. But there's a lot of volume available for someone. Is it going to be D'Ernest Johnson or Dontrell Hilliard?
I mean, it seems early indications are it'd be D'Ernest Johnson. And I think if this was a matchup against anyone other than the Colts, we'd be a lot more excited. But Colts, fourth fewest yards per attempt, fewest passing yards per attempt. That was fourth fewest rushing yards per attempt. Sorry. It's just a tough matchup here. And we'll see. I don't know if they're going to completely throw everything at Kareem Hunt or they're going to keep a rotation going. So I definitely want D'Ernest on my roster, but it's a little sketchy starting him this week.
Yep. Ditto. Nothing more to add there.
Yeah, definitely tough matchup. I'm really excited for Johnson. Actually, really more than anything, I'm excited to find out which guy is going to get the rest of the work, because the Browns have a great rushing attack. They are one of the best teams in the league in terms of, rushing yards per attempt, yards per attempt before contact. Literally any metric you want to look at, they know how to run the ball. And, a guy like Johnson or Hilliard could very well succeed behind this line. So, we'll have to wait and see who's getting the touches. I think Hilliard either out-snapped Johnson or was like very close in terms of snap share this past week, even though Johnson got a lot more carries. So just something to keep an eye on there.
And Hilliard got the third down snaps. I hope they don't do that going forward and all of a sudden Hunt loses that role. But and one thing I wanted to say real quick, sorry to cut you off there, but the Colts have played the Jaguars, Vikings, Jets, and Bears. So maybe they're not this good on defense, but I think they're pretty good.
Those are some real strong offenses there that you just named. Browns probably the best offense that they played all year, at least the way that the Browns have looked so far. Now, Odell Beckham Jr. we're starting, but what about Jarvis Landry?
He's been kind of boring, but he's kind of one of those floor guys. I mean, you probably need him this week, so I got him wide receiver 30.
Yeah, I have him 36, so it's safe floor, wide receiver 3 flex. You don't love it, but he should get his usual like 5 for 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, and then on the Indianapolis side of the ball, Jonathan Taylor, you guys both self-ranked in the top 10. Are you either of you concerned just about the carries that they're giving to Jordan Wilkins and just not giving all the volume to Taylor?
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of hoping they're just easing them into this. We were talking on Discord. I was thinking, maybe some of these coaches were treating these first 4 weeks a little bit like a preseason. I mean, so maybe that explains some of these backfields with all these split snaps. Ease the rookie Taylor in. We're 4 weeks through now. Maybe they start giving him more work. I don't know. I think some more competitive matchups will definitely help. They've just kind of ran away with a few, so they probably didn't need to push it. But I'm still waiting for that big week for Taylor. I think he's going to bust a 40-yard touchdown soon, and everyone's going to get all excited all over again.
Callan, I see you have Nyheim Hines here ranked in the top 30. Is there something here that you're seeing as far as game flow, or do you think Hines is just going to start getting more and more involved?
If the way they're using their backs, I feel like they're going to use Hines a bit more. I think this game isn't as much of a blowout as they've been in, where they can just run it out with Taylor and Wilkins. So I think Hines will be more involved in the passing game this week. We mentioned earlier how T.Y. Hilton started to phase out, and it is the backs and the tight ends. So I'm sort of just banking on that this week is more of a passing offense where they're not having to just run and ground and pound and run the clock this week. So,
and you both have Mo Alie-Cox ranked as the 15th tight end. Now, there's been some mention of Trey Burton this week. Our own Eli Grabansky was tweeting out that Burton saw the most routes run, the most targets, most receptions, most yards. Not saying a whole lot because Alie-Cox got one reception for 13 yards and it was a touchdown, but that does say something about the tight ends here in Indianapolis, and we know the Rivers is going to be thrown to them. So, is this an offense where, like, are you going to be looking at Trey Burton as a, the new guy here in Indianapolis, keeping an eye on it, or could they potentially you know, semi-support two tight ends.
I think the worry here is we're just getting too many tight ends now. It's just going to chop it up. Mo Alie-Cox has been so efficient and just looks a little more explosive. So I think we're all kind of banking on him, maybe just forcing more targets. But there's a little bit too many mouths to feed at this point, I think.
Yeah, this is the last week I want to keep an eye on it. Same thing with Burton. And there's also Jack Doyle around. I can't bank on him just being completely out of his offense. I think he'll get in, and then I'll have all three of these guys that outside the top 15 easily each week.
As I say, who would have ever thought that we'd be talking about too many mouths to feed when it's Mo Alie-Cox, Jack Doyle, Trey Burton, and Nyheim Hines? But that's what happens when you're Philip Rivers and can't throw the ball more than 8 yards. So Sunday Night Football should be a good matchup this week. Minnesota Vikings looked a little bit more alive this past week as they are now 1-3. Seahawks are 4-0 and really look like one of the best teams in the NFL. Over under set to 57.5, so could be quite the explosive Sunday Night Football matchup. Seahawks are the once again the easiest team. You start everyone. You start Wilson. You start Carson. You start Lockett. You start Metcalf. They're all startable. And with the Vikings, though, I think it's a bit of a tough decision. I think it's a bit tougher. I mean, obviously with Cook and Thielen, you're starting them, but you know. The Seahawks defense has just allowed so many points to wide receivers, so many points to quarterbacks, that are you trusting Kirk Cousins and are you trusting Justin Jefferson to keep it going?
Oh, man. Kirk Cousins starting him. It's scary. I mean, he's right on that borderline streaming range. These are two of the worst pass defenses in the league. So we could have a really just kind of fast-paced shootout here. So you got to consider him. I mean, I've got him right behind like Roethlisberger and Bridgewater. So above Herbert, Tannehill. So that's where I've got him, QB 15. So you could do worse. None of us are going to feel good about starting him, but you can use him. And I'm in on Jefferson. I mean, my ranking, I have him at wide receiver 32. I actually wrote in my write-up, like, that feels worse than it really is. There's a lot of good receivers, and I think he's going to have a good week. There's just I'm trying to hedge a little bit because they are low pass volume sometimes. And if they grab a lead or something, maybe he kind of, you know, gets another 5-target game and doesn't convert on it. So we'll see. There's always a little bit of a floor there that could fall out for Jefferson. But I really like him this week.
Problem is they're playing the Seahawks this week. Yeah. I highly doubt they're getting a lead against the Seahawks. So I think they're going to have to throw to keep up. That means good things for Jefferson as the clear number two receiving this offense right now. Means volume for Kirk Cousins, what he does with that volume. We'll see. If you need a streamer, you could do worse than him. You could do better. So Jefferson, I think, is a clear start. Cousins, if you need a streamer, fine, but there are better guys I like than him.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see, you know, you talk about potential volume, Callan. Kirk Cousins so far has not thrown the ball more than 27 times in any single game. And I think every single game the Seahawks have played, the opposing quarterback has thrown it more than 40 times. So kind of like the Cowboys-Giants, I'm curious to see, you know, which side is going to give. And I kind of believe that it's going to be the Vikings who are going to throw the ball more as they're going to have to. But, I mean, they've also had to in every game they've played, and they haven't really done that. So we'll see what happens. I mean, they do have one of the best running backs in the NFL, and they do like giving him the ball a lot. So you're starting Dalvin Cook, you're starting Adam Thielen. And I think you're good to start Justin Jefferson as a really, you know, high ceiling kind of play. You got to be worried about the floor for a rookie wide receiver, but Seahawks have been so bad. You know, they're one of the worst teams in terms of giving up points to opposing wide receivers. And Justin Jefferson has been, you know, really looking good the past 2 weeks. So let's finish it out. Monday Night Football, Los Angeles Chargers taking on the New Orleans Saints. Saints, isn't this their second Monday Night Football already? Like, come on, can we get some other teams up there, you know, on Monday night? And it's just switch it up, everyone. But, you know, with the Saints comes, you know, very interesting offense, very explosive. Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and maybe Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I hope so. It'd be nice for all of us who drafted him. So I'm ready. I think if he gets out there, you're going to play him. So I put him at wide receiver 24 just to put him somewhere. But you're going to play Michael Thomas if you have him. So it'd be a huge boost to this offense. And it would just give maybe Alvin Kamara a little bit of a break so he doesn't get burnt out by week 8 here.
Yeah, you start Thomas if he's out there. I think Breeze, he's ready to throw the ball at him. He's ready to not have to go all the way to Traquan Smith and Emmanuel Sanders all the time. So I put him at 19, unsure how fully healthy he'll be, but if he's out there, he's too talented, and Breeze will look his way for sure.
Well, so if Thomas is out there, are you guys starting either Tre'Quan Smith or Emmanuel Sanders?
I think you could do worse. I mean, they're kind of maybe in that like Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk range where they've shown enough for us. It's not a complete throwaway to start them. But once you get behind Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, then there's not a lot left. So they're right on that kind of like rather not start them, but you could put them in a flex if you need to.
Yeah, I agree. It's unpredictable. Smith's got touchdowns. Sanders is right there of targets. So it's kind of, you go Smith for a little bit of upside, but with Thomas there, that's going to decrease that upside. And put him if you have to start him. You could do worse, but you don't love it.
And then Latavius Murray had a really big game in week four, not just in terms of scoring, but also volume. You know, is Murray someone that you can potentially start moving forward?
He's getting there. I think he's start completely getting the work. He seems to be getting more carries than Kamara through each week, so I don't think I'm fully ready to say you should start him, but he's getting there, especially with bye weeks coming up where you might have to throw him in at the flex, and he's got a kind of safe floor if he keeps getting the carries that he's been getting.
He's a little too touchdown dependent for me, I think. I mean, he's got four catches through four games, a high of 64 yards. So, I mean, you know, he's got a 58-yard game, a 48-yard game, so he could get you, you know, 5 or 6 points, but you're really just banking on a touchdown. And I'm sure we've got some frustrating Taysom Hill touchdown weeks ahead of us. So.
Every fantasy player's favorite player, Taysom Hill. Yeah. And then with the Chargers, so, you know, with Austin Ekeler out, that leaves a big hole for Joshua Kelly or Justin Jackson to step up into. You both have Kelly ranked higher than Jackson. Obviously, he's been getting the work so far this year, but, you know, two fumbles in the last two games. And he has really, I mean, he's been getting a lot of carries, but it's not like he's turned that into a lot of yards. So, you know, are you confidently ranking Kelly ahead of Jackson, or what do you think?
I still think he's a better player, so I'm going to put him ahead pretty confidently. And I would have been really excited about Kelly after the Ekeler injury, but this Saints matchup just isn't a good one. They're a top five rush defense so far, and I just see a lot of kind of running into stacked fronts for them, and Herbert's going to have to make some plays. So any other matchup, I'd be much more excited. I still think Kelly has the upper hand, and unless he just keeps fumbling and just puts himself on the bench. But Jackson's had injury issues too, so I think Kelly can handle the workload a little more than Jackson.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm curious of how the passing game is going to work. I know Ekeler is very involved, and clear that makes Kelly not involved. Does he get that role, or do they just go, you know, we don't really have that full pass catcher? Do they make Jackson the pass catcher? So that's kind of lowers his floor for me, so I have him out right at running back 30 to where just the matchup isn't great, and I'm not sure how involved he's going to be in the passing game. So if you pick them up, you can start him a little bit. He's got a kind of safe floor, but he's a little touchdown dependent this week. And I think this is a game where we're going to have to throw to try and keep up with the Saints to where it might move away from Kelly and just big games for wide receivers.
Yeah, Jackson historically has actually been a bit of a pass catching back. In 2018, I think there's a couple games where I don't think they had Ekeler for a couple games towards the end of the year, and he started against the Chiefs, got three receptions for 27 yards there, and then in week 15 against the Ravens, he had seven catches on 10 targets for 47 yards. So we've seen Jackson have a bit of a you know, passing back role in the past, and we might see that here with Kelly being the Melvin Gordon to Justin Jackson's Austin Ekeler, like the super poor man's version of the Gordon Ekeler experience from the last couple of years. And then, you know, Keenan Allen, obviously we keep talking about how with Herbert, he's just trending in the right direction, getting all the volume that we expect Keenan Allen to get. And, you know, Hunter Henry's been up and down, but as we said, tight end is pretty tough this week with both Hockenson and Robert Tonyan not playing. So, I mean, obviously, it's not like we're relying on Tonyan to begin with, but a lot of people are very excited about him. So you definitely need to start Hunter Henry if you have him. Let's just real quick, just because I didn't ask you guys, which games are you most excited to see this week?
Ooh, that's a good question. It doesn't feel we're missing some of those marquee matchups that we usually get. So I'm actually going to be watching the Bengals game quite closely. So that's going to be at the top of my list. I think Eagles and Steelers could be interesting. Eagles are still in desperation mode, and I think the Steelers offense still has another gear, so I'll be watching that one too.
Yeah, Steelers fan, I'll go to that one. If it gets played, I'm curious how this Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans game is. You got the battle of undefeateds. What does that, if your offense fully look like? They've been two good defenses. Their offense are looking like they're clicking, although who knows who's going to be on the field. So if that gets played, that should be very exciting as well. So
yeah.
And the Saints Chargers, I think Herbert's been really good. Seeing him on the primetime stage will be fun as well.
Yeah, I think I'm most excited to see the Titans and the Patriots, because then that means their games are played and things are good. So hopefully, you know, your lineup choices are a lot easier now, and you're going to have a good week five and pick up another win on your way to winning your season. But thanks for listening to the Sit Start podcast. Every Thursday we have our Sit Start article where we go over every single fantasy relevant player. So make sure to check that out. And we'll see you guys Sunday on the live stream.